Michelle and people to come a while. I just want to, I know the emphasis is the youth and their programs of GTO, of going behind the lines and so forth. And I do especially want to encourage you youth to be open to God touching some spot in your heart this morning about your personal involvement. But I want all of those who might be ball-headed youth here today to also be open to the fact that God may want to do something through you. I think Palm Grove and Sarasota are doing quite well without more snowbirds. And I just want to encourage all of us in my generation to continue to be open to what God may want to be doing with us as we are now, as we become into the area of being retired. So, Sheldon, let me pray. Father, thank you for the team that is here today. Thank you for Brother Sheldon and the leadership that he's giving to the team. And as we prayed earlier, Lord, we just want your anointing to fall upon each of the participants and that you would be glorified. Mm-hmm. Through Christ I pray.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Dave. It is a privilege to be here. I'm Sheldon Graber. My wife is Ellen. And yes, I'm 60. My wife's not quite there. And yes, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, we lived in Asia. Young people are going to be sharing and challenging and encouraging the youth, but just want to echo that call that saying about our God is great. Are we about making his name great? And it is our desire. It's been a privilege to be here. Thank you for allowing us to share in your worship service. Often when you come to share, we're giving, but we worship this morning. It's good to be here and to focus on God, our wonderful God and Creator, and how great he is. The reminder, I just commend your congregation for your mission heart, for your giving heart, your serving heart, your supporting missionaries. We've been blessed with Lloyd and Mary Ellen on the field in Thailand and their family. Privileged to have them in our home a little bit in northern Indiana, but and blessed to be in their home here in Pennsylvania and in their home in Asia as well. They're busy about God's work, and they're following God's calling. Was encouraged when we got the call from Brother Ray Weaver. He said, "Is this the Ray Weaver that taught our sons at Clint Christian School?" Yes, and he's blessing you on being on the missions committee here. But it's interesting how God interweaves our lives and our world, and it's a privilege to bring the team this morning. We're here because God is calling us to serve. And whether that's with GTO in Southeast Asia or one of the EDGE teams or ULTRA teams that the young people are going to be sharing about or a charge, a vision trip. Commend you for planning this trip for your young people, for older ones as well, maybe to go along and to see a little bit of Southeast Asia with Lloyd's. And to commend you and encourage you to go for the encouragement that it is for the missionaries. Our responsibility, Ellen and I, as member care in Thailand, was to encourage the missionaries. And they blessed us when we went into China, when we went to Laos. But they thanked us for coming. They're on the front lines, often feeling alone. They're human. They have hurts. They have pains and aches. They miss home. And the encouragement when you can go and be in their home, be in their land, in their country, and see the people they're working with. Thank you for allowing your pastor, Brother Dave, to go and minister. The time of retreat over there is a very special time to interact. The missionaries come in from China and from Laos and the missionaries in Thailand. There to spend time together. And it's a blessing to have that interaction, to have the encouragement from pastors that care about them. And you'll probably get to see some edge guys on that side of the world do some crazy things, but hopefully you can encourage and bless them too. The other morning I was finishing up my devotional and reading in Matthew, the last couple verses of Matthew 9. It's a challenge for us, a challenge for those of us here and those of that are called to go to various places. Jesus talking here, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's a call for us serving here in Pennsylvania, northern Indiana, in Asia, in different parts of the world, where God's called us to serve, to minister his word. It's our desire. The team is going to be sharing different callings they have and how God has directed and blessed their lives through Edge and Ultra and Charge. So Brandon will be sharing first. So turn it over to him.
It's really awesome to be here and be able to talk about what God's doing. That's really what we want you guys to understand and to realize, is that it's not about anything that I do or that you do or that anybody sitting here is doing. It's about what God's doing. It's about what God wants to do in each of our lives. I'm just going to warn you right up front, it's not going to be your normal, here's a lot of pictures, here's what we do. We want to talk a lot about what God's done in our lives, and hopefully that's an encouragement to you guys, and especially thinking of Edge and Ultra and how God has used that to teach us. First of all, Kevin, will you come up here and just pray for us first?
Father, we just want to give this time to you. Father, we believe that you've put us here in this generation for a purpose, and we believe that's to know you and to make you known. Just ask that you would raise up people in this place that would grab a hold of that calling and live that out here in Asia, in Africa, in Central America, just everywhere. So just ask that you would be with Brandon and the rest of the team as they share. In Jesus' name, amen.
I woke up this morning and I had no idea what I was going to say. I'm standing up here and I have an idea of what I want to say, but I don't really know what I want to say or what God wants to say. So hang with me. We were in the back in conference room 2, just praying, spending some time with God before the service. And I just felt him laying this burden on my heart. And I was like, God, no, I don't want to talk about that. I don't know anything about that. But I feel it's what God wants for me. I feel it's what God wants to teach me. So I'm going to talk to myself for a while this morning, and you guys can listen in. And if you find something you want, you can use, take it. If not, don't worry about me. 3 years ago, I was on Edge. And one of the first things I learned, and the Edge director would probably smack me if I told the story, but I'm going to tell it anyway because he's not here. But we were hiking along as a team, there's all 8 of us, and we get to our camp one night, and we had this illustration, our leaders had an illustration for us. Pretty much what we did is, I'll just give you the short version, but pretty much they counted up how many times we used the words I or me, and kept track. And they started at about, I don't know what time it was dark. They had us get down on the ground and we start doing push-ups. And I'm like, okay, I can do push-ups. I mean, I'm not that strong, but I can do, 100 if I have to. And so I start doing push-ups. We get to 50. They told us they'll stop us when we're done. I get to 50. I'm like, oh, boy, we might be here for a while. I get to 100, and I'm like, this is really bad. I'm done. Get to 150, and you're like, this is stupid. What are we doing? Get to 200, and you're like, somebody just hit me over the head with a stick. I'm done. Got to 240. I've never done that many push-ups in my life, probably altogether. And we still have no idea what's going on and how long we have to go. I was fully prepared to do push-ups all night. I figured that's probably what was going to have to happen. But finally they stopped us and they're like, you know what, like, you guys can never do enough push-ups to pay for your penalties. And like something just clicked inside of us and we're like, that's how so often we are with God and what God's done for us in our lives. He came down, he died on the cross for us, and he's given us a free and a simple gift, and yet so often I try to work for it. I try to work as hard as I can to make sure that God is accepts me, that God, that I can pay off this penalty that I think I should pay. And I do push-ups so many times. And I don't know, I just was just praying, and it just feels so, to stand up here, it just feels arrogant to be able to do that, just to say, God, you know what, like, you're not good enough. You're not good enough to give me what I need. I have to work for it. Like, what kind of pride do I have to have? How arrogant do I have to be to do that to him? And I'm just going to read I think it's in John, the one I want. I just want to read one verse in John where it's Jesus is on the cross and he's dying. And Jesus' last words before he dies is, and Jesus, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Why don't I believe that? Why don't I believe that when Jesus said, "It is finished," that it's finished? I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is accept what he's given me, salvation. But I have to do push-ups. I have to get down in the dirt, in the mud, and do push-ups. And it just feels so dumb sometimes when I look back over my life and see when I've done that. In Isaiah 64, it talks about, in Isaiah 64, 6, it says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." No matter what I do, no matter what Kevin does, Diana does, or any of you guys do, it is filthy rags. I can go on Edge, I can go on Ultra, I can be the most amazing missionary that anybody's ever heard about. It means nothing if I don't accept the gift that God's given me, salvation. Sorry, I lost my story. I was going to tell a story and I forgot it. Oh, I want to tell a story about God and what God did. And I don't know what this story is going to do for you guys. I don't know what it is going to do for me, but I want to share this story. And this story is to God's glory. We were in India. I was on Edge. We were in India and we were in this town. It's a small town. And it is a very extremely dark town. One of the, just, you just feel the Satan's oppression over this town. It's just like a heavy, heavy dark horse blanket or something that somebody just threw over top of you. And we would be in this town, and there was this temple. It's a rectangular shape, and it's almost a mile all the way around this thing. So we decided, you know what, like, we are going. We're going to walk around this thing. We're going to do like Joshua did in the Old Testament with Jericho. Once around it for 7 days and not speak, and then the seventh day, seven times around, and at the end give a shout, which is really weird. I know, it's really weird. But we did it. And we had amazing time of just worship walking around this temple. And I think it was the third or fourth day, we had done our morning walk around this temple, come back, going back to our motel to grab some stuff. And we stopped at a little stand to buy some water for the day. and the cops pull up, and we're like, oh, whatever. They were asking us what we're doing and stuff. And we're like, oh, we're just here in town. We're tourists. We're seeing the town and stuff. And they're like, well, you walk around the temple every day. We're like, yeah, and we walk around the temple every day. That's not a crime. But they're like, well, how many of you guys are there? And at this point, this was my whole team plus the leader. There was 9 of us. So, like, there's 9 of us. And they're like, are you for real? Like, you're not lying to us? No, there's 9 of us. Are you sure there's 9 of you? Yeah. Like, why are you questioning whether there's 9? We know how many are in our group. But they're like, no, there's not 9. There's 27 of you. And we're like, no, like, there's 9. Look, right here, there's 9. And they're like, no, people see 27 men when they walk or when you walk around the temple. And, like, I don't know what that does for you guys, but literally that comes to me and 2 other guys for each guy. I fully believe God is there with angels protecting us. People saw 27 guys, and I don't know what that did for that town, but it was so good for me to realize, and this is not something we had even prayed about. We prayed for God's protection, but we didn't pray for armies of angels to come down and protect us. We just prayed that, you know, God would maybe send one, because one's good enough. But it was so good for me to realize that even when I don't ask for things, even when God knows me so much better than I know myself. And so when it comes to doing push-ups, I'm just going to keep using that illustration. I don't have to do these things. God already knows me so much better than what I know myself. All I have to do is rest in Him and rely on Him and realize that He's got it. One more quick story, and then I'll shut up and get out of here. I was in China, and I buy a bus ticket to go about 15 hours west into the mountains. And I buy my bus ticket, and I look at my bank account, and like, oh boy, I have $20 in there. $20, I can't even get out of Western China for $20. I can't even buy a bus ticket back. But I feel like God's saying, go, I need you out there. So I hop on a bus and I go. And I'm like, this is just really stupid. Like, I can't even get out. And the whole time, like, I wanted to just literally, like, my thought was, I'm going to go find a closet. I'm going to lay in a closet. I'm going to prostrate myself in a closet. I'm going to pray for 10 hours straight. Make sure that God gets the hint. I'm going to pray this money right down. But I felt Him like, no, man, I got this. Just trust me. I got it. And, like, it just all comes back to me being proud and wanting to do something for God to give me something. I wanted to, like, work as hard as I could to get money. Just not that I need, I need money to get out, but not that I even wanted to, like, I just wanted to work because I felt stupid to have God give me money. I felt like I have to do this. I went to China. I finally got to the point where I could lay it down. I didn't even think about it. Literally, guys, like, I didn't even think about it. And I come back. One of my buddies paid for my ticket back. I get back, and I had, like, $700 in my account. Here I am worried about stuff that God already has taken care of. I just want to leave with you guys the fact that God's gifts to us are free. All we have to do is accept them. All I have to do is say, God, I accept that. I lay down what I want, and I take what You want. And I don't have to get down in that dirt and that mud and do all kinds of push-ups. I don't have to wear that stinky, smelly, filthy rags. What God wants for us is better than what we want for ourselves. And let's believe that, people. Let's really believe that and accept that. Diana's going to come up. She's going to talk a little bit about Ultra. I know I didn't talk about Edge much, but that is the biggest thing I learned. It's just to accept and to rest into God and what He has for me. Gina's going to come up, and she's going to talk for a little bit. So listen to her.
Good morning. Yes, I am Gina. I was on Ultra the last. I came home about 4 weeks ago. When I think of Ultra, I think about God. I feel about this big when I think about what I got to do in Ultra. And it wasn't because of something that I did or my teammates that were here. It was because God was there and God was real. And some of the first times of my life, actually, I was able to experience God for who he was and who he says he is in the Bible. A big part of Ultra for me was surrender. We learned a lot about letting God take the pen of my story and write whatever he wants to do. Backing up before I went, I had a hard time reading my Bible. I didn't feel connected with God. I didn't feel connected with a lot of people. And because of that, I closed my heart up really tight. It was hard for me to trust people. It was hard for me to love. And until I went on Ultra and was put into situations, circumstances, the first 10 weeks we were sent to an orphanage. And in there, I saw all these little kids we were responsible for 17 little preschoolers. And they needed so much love. And I remember the one day especially, there was a little five-year-old, her name was Nomai. And we had taken balloons and candy and things like that to pass out. And the one day she didn't get what she wanted. And I don't even remember what it was that she wanted, but she didn't get it. And she pouted for a long time. And I sat there and I offered to hold her. I offered to whatever it was that I offered a counter offer, and I was like, you know, here I am, and I offered her love, and I was like, hey, once you're ready, I'm right here for you. And I sat with her for a long time, and it took her hours. It took her until she got over her anger and willing to trust me, and then she came and sat with me, and she was the happiest little girl for the rest of the day. And in that, I learned, and God was like, you know what, Gina, that's what you've been doing. God is trying to teach me things. He's taken me to places, and I say, but I don't want to trust you, and I'm scared of getting hurt. And he said, you know what? I did that for you. I came to this earth, and I gave everything, even though I knew you were going to hurt me. But before I could love people, I had to accept that from God. And my teammates can tell you we weren't perfect. We didn't always get along. And yet when it came to the point of seeing God for who he was and realizing that there's so much more to life than my own agenda and what I thought I wanted to do, I gained the best of friends. I gave friends that will last a lifetime. The rest of the time, we were sent to 4 or 5 places. And in every place, you know, I saw hurting people. I saw people that we could love for a little bit, and then we had to walk out of their lives. And the last 3 weeks, we were in a town in southern Thailand, and there I saw so many hurting people. We worked in the red light district with women and children at risk. We worked in the slums, and I met so many people there, people that had way worse stories than I could ever imagine that it's even possible. And then there was a little girl that we had had kids club that day. And she clung to me most of the day. And when it was my turn to go along and drop these kids off at their house. And I took her there and I asked where her mom is because I wanted to give her back. We would go and we'd pick them up and then bring them back to a center and we'd tell them stories and play with them and do all kinds of fun kid things. And they said, you know, she doesn't have her mom is working and her 5-year-old sister is not only taking care of her, but her other 2 siblings as well. And I couldn't believe it. I was just, it was unbelievable. And I left that little girl screaming and crying in the dirt because she wanted to go with me. And it absolutely broke my heart. I went back to the house we were staying, and I cried for a really long time because I couldn't fix it. But with that, God taught me, you know, it's not so much my own things, but it's what he wants to do through me. It's me showing love to that little girl, even though I will get hurt and I'm gonna go cry because I can't fix things. But it's what God asked me to do. It's what God asked you to do, is to care about the people in your lives and to reach out, because there are so many hurting people there. So it's not my journey's not over. I still take the pen back from God every day, and I have to say, you know what, it's not my story. It's what he can do with my life. But I will always be thankful. The decision to go on Ultra was the best decision I ever made. It was an amazing part of my life. We're going to show some videos next about Edge and Ultra, just information and things like that, some of the places we went and we got to see. They're both 7 months. They are not co-ed. Ultra's for guys. Take that back. Ultra's for girls. Edge's for guys. They are not co-ed. We took one trip with them, but that's about all we saw of them. The focus of Edge is on leadership, and Ultra is a lot about relationships.
Edge, E-D-G-E. E stands for enter. Enter into the land. And D stands for deliver. Deliver God's word, as well as deliver his message. And that's going to come out in different ways. And G, glorify him everywhere you go, everything you do.
Welcome. We're excited to show you what Ultra is all about, but only a little glimpse of it.
I came here wanting to be stretched. I wanted to grow. I was looking for something more, something deeper in my relationship with God. And all of that came true.
Coming on Ultra has really opened my eyes to the people around me that need Jesus.
There's something beautiful about seeing different culture and seeing God's beauty in different people and just being able to be His hands and feet in different areas that make you feel uncomfortable. It causes you to have to actually go deep and be honest with yourself and with God about who you actually are, because you're in totally different atmosphere and in a new environment. And when some of that is stripped away from you, the true you comes out, and what you need to work on is made known.
One day I was hit with the question three times. Three different people asked me, who is Jesus? And it really took me back. There's so many people that ask you why you wear the head covering, or why you're doing this, or what about Mennonite or Christians or whatever, but these people didn't even know Jesus.
Ultra is going beyond due limits. It's about going beyond those limits and expectations that you have created within yourself, in your relationship with Christ, your relationship with other people, and what you think you can do and who God has created you to be, and is able to take you places and work in your life in ways that you've never imagined.
Well, every Ultra journey is going to look different, but ours, the beginning of ours, we were sent to an orphanage. We lived there for about 10 weeks, built strong relationships with the people there, and then we went on a series of different shorter trips, about 2.5 weeks. We got to work with women and children at risk. We got to teach English. We got to work with children in the slums and slum ministry, just joining in lots of different ministries all over Southeast Asia.
A big part of Ultra is relationships. As girls, relationships are so, so important to us. And to be able to have an effective team, our relationship with God, first of all, needs to be alive. It needs to be deep. And on Ultra, we are taught to go to the hard places with God. We're taught to understand what His plan is, how He sees us as girls. And out of that, we can be effective as a team in showing His love, His purpose for the whole world, really.
So I realized that finances are going to look really huge to some of you thinking about coming on Ultra, and it looked really huge to me too. But there was a time when I didn't have enough to get me through, and God totally came through and provided for what I needed when I needed it, and He can do the same for you.
When you hear the word Ultra, you're probably also going to hear the word Odyssey, and there's a reason for that. Odyssey is a series of adventures with notable experiences. And so the Odyssey that we take you on Ultra is going to take you places that you didn't always figure you could go. But it's also it's going to be so good. It's going to be so rewarding. Our Odyssey with the Father is an ongoing thing for the rest of our lives. It's a journey that each one of us lives on a personal level. And Odyssey is sort of the kickoff to that Ultra experience.
Ultra creates an atmosphere of a stepping stone, of getting you to where you want to be. For me, this is something that has changed my life completely. I know it will do the same for you. It's going to be hard. It will be stretching. And yet, it is something that is so, so worth it.
Jesus doesn't call us just to go somewhere and serve our time and be done. He calls us to take up our cross daily and follow Him, and that means living the rest of your life every day with intention. And I view Ultra as a great way to kickstart that and to learn the things that you need to learn and to be forced into those positions that are going to give you the training that you need for the rest of your life. And Ultra is the beginning of my future.
Do you want to go deeper in your relationship with your Heavenly Father?
Learn to trust the Father with your finances.
Become confident in the woman God has created you to be.
Hang out with children.
Be His hands and feet.
Be part of a team that takes Jesus to the nations.
To change lives.
And to be a life changed.
It could be the beginning of yours, the beginning of an incredible journey with Jesus for the rest of your life.
I was just struck this morning in the little pamphlet that was being handed out at the entrance, the verse there below the church name was, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. And I just want to talk a little bit about our three programs that we're here kind of representing. We have Charge, which is a four-week program. It's for guys and girls. On a charge trip, you'll go to one place, one location, one country in Southeast Asia. We've got trips to Vietnam, to China, to Tibet, a lot of different trips, and you're going to kind of focus on one people group and doing one type of ministry. And then Ultra and Edge are the longer seven-month terms. For guys interested in Edge, you'll have to go on at least one charge trip in order to be able to apply for Edge. But kind of just this whole thing of to know him and to make him known is really the heartbeat of these three programs. And just, I was struck this morning by you know, the guys sharing. On Ultra and Edge, like, don't get me wrong, like, you have opportunities to go to fantastic places. You're going to see most of the countries in Southeast Asia. You're going to go to some countries that you didn't even know you could get into as an American. But that's not the point, right? That's not it. To know him and to make him known. You know, and there's this belief that we have that you can't really do one well without doing the other. So if it's really your heart to know him, you can't help but to make him known. And in the same way, you can't really make him known without really knowing him. And my experience on Edge was that this was a fantastic experience of really getting to know the Father in a completely new way that enabled me to make him known in ways that I wouldn't have been able to previously. We have a website, made reference to it a couple times in the video. It's he'scalled.me. It's not he'scalledme.com, it's he'scalled.me. And you go there, you'll find photos, you'll find information about the charge trips. It's really easy to contact the Ultra director, the Edge director. Any questions you have, he'scalled.me is the place to go. I'm going to have this iPad in the back, the green case. It's not to give away or anything, it's just, saw some of you guys light up. No, we just have a newsletter specifically for these three programs. It's not the Global Tribes Outreach letter. It's if you're interested at all in what's happening in Charge, Ultra, or Edge, there's going to be an opportunity for you to sign up. And every couple of months, we'll be sending you an email with new opportunities and new trips, that kind of thing. So that's going to be at the back at the table. And we also have these shirts. He'scalled.me. And in the back, it just says, to know him and to make him known. Again, that's really the challenge that I want to leave with you guys. You don't need to go to Asia to know him and to make him known. So I would just say, if this is you, if it's what you want, know him and to make him known, you can pick up a shirt in the back. All proceeds, it's donation-based, all proceeds that we get are going to the children's home that you would have seen in the Ultra video. They got 40-some kids, and they're doing some really cool stuff. They have some new projects coming up. But man, if you just want a shirt, if this is what you're about, you don't have money along, just grab a shirt. It's on us. This is really the message that we want to share. It's what we want to leave. And just to close, I'm going to ask Wes to come up and share a little bit, if you don't mind, Wes.
I like to grab a hold of the rope. It's just a little bit of my security here. Actually, the truth is, this rope here got tangled up. Anyways, this rope here is my life. And maybe some of you guys have seen this before, so I'm telling you this because it's really real to me right now. This rope is my life, and let's just imagine this thing goes on out the door and out on the road and never ends, goes around the world, and it's my life. It's my life. And crazy thing is I'm right here at the beginning. Just right here. I'm just getting started, man. I've got a long ways to go. The thing is, it never ends, really. But my life on here on Earth does. This little red part here is my life on Earth. And I'm only 18 years old. I mean, 24 years old. And I'm just getting started in my red part. It really feels like it. And I've really been, I was just challenged this morning. We were singing in praise and worship. It's how better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. You know, I get a few short years right here. And that's just really nothing compared to everything along here, like all our eternity. And the crazy thing is what matters and what we do in this red part is really what happens in this white part. And a lot of you guys know that I lost my teammate earlier this year. And it just hit me how short life really is. And what in the world am I doing? What am I doing? What am I going for? And I just loved how Dave said, you know, Florida has enough people. I stand to work so hard here, you know, in the first three quarter here. I'm going to make a lot of money so that, you know, when I get to the last quarter, I can go down to Florida and live it up. And I'm fine. I know a lot of friends and family go to Florida. I'm not dissing that. But what I've learned is it doesn't really matter if I'm here, Pennsylvania. I'm from Indiana. I've lived out of the country for 5 years in a couple different countries. Or if it's Florida, it really doesn't matter. What it really matters is what we do with that time that God has given us right here. And if I can't honor and glorify God with that time right here, How in the world am I going to think I can honor and glorify him with the rest of this white part? And I was really challenged the other day. You know, not only does my short life right here affect my eternity, but I believe it affects a lot of people around us. I was walking, 2 days ago, we went to this coffee shop down in South Carolina, and we're getting out of our van, and we're walking into this coffee shop, and there's a young man sitting there, and I'm, hey, how you doing? And we start chatting, and I sit down and talk, and he's like, hey, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure. He said, why did you come talk to me? I said, because I saw you, I saw something, and I just felt like I was supposed to say something. He says, because when I saw you guys walk up and climb out of that van, I said, I just knew inside that one of you was going to talk to me. And I was the last one in the, I was behind everybody else. And I'm just like, I almost started crying because, like, what if I wouldn't have taken that? God told me. And what I want to show then here is not only does my red part there on that line, that my short little life, affect my eternity, but what about that young man I met, that college student? What if, and I got to share Jesus with him and encourage him in his walk. And I believe that has an effect on his white part as well. How many times do I sit in my church in Indiana and the young boy beside me doesn't even know who Jesus is? He looks like he does, but he doesn't. How about those students that I taught for 4 years? How about that Asian man that I got to sit beside on the train and he knew English, but I was too tired and I didn't want to sleep with him. And I've just really been convicted at all the people that I pass by every day. And the reality is, we don't have to go on Ultra, we don't have to go on Edge or Charge or GTO to make an impact in this world. Edge is the best thing that ever happened to me, and I promise you it'll do the same for you, but it doesn't have to be Edge. It starts right here in our relationship with the Father and what we want to do with our life that will affect my eternity and everybody's eternity around us. So what are we doing in our red part? What am I doing right here in the United States of America that will affect my eternity and the eternity of those around me? Let's just pray. Father, thank you that you've chosen me. You've chosen each one of us here to play a part in your big story and your big picture and your plan of salvation, Father. And God, I believe that you've called each one of us to live in eternity with you. And God, as we go about our days and our weeks, no matter where we're at, if it's here, Pennsylvania, It's in Florida, Indiana, Asia, China, Central America, God, the whole world. No matter where we're at, the most important thing is that we live with an eternal perspective of our life and realize we get one small chance and one shot at this so that one day we can glorify and honor you in eternity. And God, we just praise you and worship you for choosing us right where we're at. And I ask, God, that you meet us in our hearts. You know what we're working through. You know what I'm working through and what I need to learn. And God, I pray that you teach me and forgive me, for Father, for all those opportunities that I've had and I've walked right past them. Thank you, Father, for these people, and I bless them in the name of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And with that, I'll turn the time back over to Brother Dave.
I really sense that God's among us today. And I've always sort of rejected the emotional kind of invitation where you try to play on people's feelings, because so many times that doesn't last. But I'd like us to just take a little time here for some quiet. Not to build a feeling, but to confirm a feeling. And I'd like each of us to open our hearts to the Lord and understand what is it that he's saying to each of us this morning about our walk. Appreciated the emphasis here at the end, that it doesn't have to be Edge, it doesn't have to be Altar, while they're wonderful programs. But the red line applies to all of us, and the white rope applies to all of us. And I know that so many of you are so sincere in your walk with the Lord, and so this is not to put you on a guilt trip. I mean, I'm trusting that as you open your heart to the Lord, for many of you it's going to be a word of affirmation of keep going, keep doing what you're doing. But for some of us, the Lord may want to address something in our lives. He may want to address some self-centeredness, some selfishness, some hard-heartedness. And I want it to be a word from God to you, not some emotional kind of thing. And so what I'd like us to do is just get quiet before the Lord and allow him to confirm whatever he wants to confirm in your heart. And then after we pray, we're going to sing number 304, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And if God has said something to you, into your heart, that needs to have a visible witness, if he's said something to your heart that he's asking you to do something about physically, to sort of nail it down. We're going to, of course, open up the altar. The altar is always open as far as that's concerned, but to give you the opportunity to just confront here, kneel down. It'll be between you and the Lord. Nobody's going to come and counsel you. But for you to just step out if God's calling you to do it. I know that not near all of you will have to do that. So let's just get quiet before God and open up our hearts and say, Dear Jesus, is there something you want to confirm in my heart today by your Spirit? Father, I thank you so much for sending your Spirit here to the earth and for being our guide and our comforter and our teacher. And I thank you for your faithfulness again this morning in being among us and using these young folk to challenge us. Father, you know that nothing new was shared with us this morning. We've known about being your disciple and the importance of being your disciple 24/7 and being aware of the opportunities. And yet, it's so good that you know our frame, that we're but dust and that we're very easily distracted. And so I thank you this morning for sending us sort of a wake-up call again, sort of a reminder of who we are and who you are and what that means, our relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray, I just pray for clarity. And I pray that you would cover this place so that there can be no distractions, that the enemy cannot somehow distract and confuse, but that there would be clarity. And that each of us would personally know what you're saying to us this morning about our personal walk, our personal relationship with you. So, Lord, we thank you and we dedicate this time of decision, possibly, for the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, take your hymnals, turn to number 304, and let's joyfully declare our commitment to the Lord. Number 304. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. The cross before me, the world behind me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. Before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided do it.